welcome to Inside Learning Technology Episode 3, recorded on the 12th of June 2012. Charlie Love and Glue. Good evening and welcome to Inside Learning Technology Episode 3, an Inside Learning Tech special. Tonight, I'm joined by a very special guest, someone I'm very excited to have on board, Charlie Love, teacher and web developer, and at the moment, something between saviour and enfant terrible of school intranets. How are you, Charlie? Good to have you on board.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm doing really well. Really busy, really excited to be speaking to you today, so thank you for that.
Fantastic. What we really want to talk about tonight is the whole business of intranets in schools, what they mean for us. Obviously, the Scottish Glow Network, which grew out of the Scottish Schools Digital Network, I believe. And if you're up for it, we might even just chew the fat a little around, you know, where what it means for IT and future technologies in general, if it comes up.
Yeah, great.
How about starting us off, Charlie, but just telling us a wee bit about yourself? Obviously, you're a teacher, but you've also got a background recently in development work for Education Scotland, working at a pretty high level.
Yeah, I was so sort of 2010, 2011. I was seconded to Learning and Teaching Scotland, which then became Education Scotland, to do work for Derek Robertson's Consularium project. That was to do with our curriculum for excellence in Scotland and to do with the sort of games design, games development strand of that curriculum. So I worked there, and while I was there, I was very much involved with some elements of the GLOW program as well. Me being me and having some sort of development expertise, while I was there, I developed a URL shortening website for them, something a bit like Bitly, which is actually Glowly, www.glo.li. So I developed that for them just as a wee side project while I was there. And my kind of background has been as a software developer, web programmer, and so on, a bit of that before I came into teaching. And I've continued an interest in that right the way through my kind of teaching career.
Wow. Right. So you worked on the GLOW project, obviously, for Education Scotland as they became. You worked, clearly at a high level. You've had a really keen background working in programming. Tell me a wee bit more about that. That's really interesting. Because how did you get into teaching as well? You know, which came first?
My initial background was actually I used to work in the oil sector. Being from Aberdeen, it's a big oil industry employer. And so I was based up here and I did a lot of work in the oil industry. So I did that for a couple of years. And I did that for a couple of years. And then I really just got to a point where I thought, maybe I just want to try something else, something different. And teaching really appealed to me. The idea of just working with young people, doing creative and innovative things, exciting things, and imparting some of the knowledge and passion that I have for computing as a subject. So I was really excited to get that opportunity and to take that further, take that forward as being a computing teacher. So that was really appealed to me, and I've been doing that really now for the last nearly 20 years. I've been a computing teacher, and I continued right through that period. Real interest in computing developments, and so really I continued to keep an interest in software development, programming, and web development, and I find it really exciting what we can do with those kind of modern platforms.
I was just going to come in there and say, so it's fair to say that as well as being a computing teacher, you're a serious geek. You're not one of these teachers that was mentioned in the was it the Next Gen report recently? Then doesn't have a passion for programming and kind of an industry awareness. You clearly.
Yeah,
very,
absolutely
very
not.
Much the kind of teacher that they want.
Well, I would hope so.
You can't say that, but I think I'm saying that. You certainly seem to be, absolutely.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I think it's that Next Gen report, it's a really important document because it really does spell out what the skill shortages are and what we, and we really need to address that as a nation. Yeah. you know, right across the UK, we need to have a real serious look at what we do with technological education, and specifically what we do with programming and how we inspire learners to become involved in that, and to also to retain the math skills, the physics skills, together with the hard coding, key software development things that they need to be able to do. Those are really important skills. I mean, and those soft skills that, you know, word processing, spreadsheets, and database, they have their place, but they are not going to produce the next Mark Zuckerberg or the next Bill Gates or the next Steve Jobs. Those skills are not going to do that for us. What's going to do that for us as a nation is this the creativity that you can have with computer code. Yeah. That's what's going to do it.
Yeah, the creativity and the analytical skills, absolutely. Yes. Okay, so I can feel that in the future we're going to have to have conversations about that. It's a huge issue, and it's certainly something that, you know, I'm passionate about as well. But let's go back to GLOW. So Scotland, you know, just to fill in our colleagues listening from elsewhere, has had the National Intranet GLOW for what, something in excess of 8 years? I'm not sure, but it's that kind of length of time.
Yes. I mean, GLOW has been available in Scotland since 2005. The project started. It was really launched 2007. It's been extended. It's had a kind of from 2005 to 2010 with its core 5-year project contract. It was then extended another 2 years, which took us to September 2012, and now it's been extended for another 15 months to the end of 2013.
Yeah, and that, just to fill people in, that's where, you know, your part of the story really comes to life, that we were looking to kind of revitalize GLOW. There was a plan to have a GLOW 2 because there were criticisms of it. It wasn't really being used as heavily as was originally hoped. A number of criticisms were levelled in the research that Education Scotland, who run the system, actually conducted themselves. You know, that, for example, it was getting a little bit out of date, you know, that some things weren't using the modern web protocols. There was a real hope that a new system could address that. But, you know, cutting to now, we've come through a year or so, really, haven't we, when there's been an awful lot of politics around the procurement of that. And the cabinet secretary, the equivalent here of our minister, had said that he wanted us to begin to use more open web tools and really move it forward to reculture education away from the closed walled garden internet to something a little more outward looking, you know, but presumably still safe. So that's where we are just now. Do you want to just come back to where you come into all of this story?
Well, my sort of role in this story just came in October last year. I was contacted by Education Scotland to do just a little bit of scoping work around the GLOW project. This is really just looking at what could be possible in terms of the open source tools, what would be the recommendations that we would make. So I assisted in drafting a set of proposal documents for what's called the GLOW program board, the sort of decision-making board. So I was involved in drafting those documents from October of last year through to really the middle of February this year. Now, as that process was going on, in my own time, really as a proof of concept that everything that I was saying and others were saying could be done technically in our proposal document, I was actually doing that stuff.
It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Yeah,
I was doing that stuff in my own time to verify that it could all be done. So we suggested there would need to be a single sign-on system. So there's a single sign-on system that's been developed in this portal that is called GLOW at the moment. So we've got GLOW and there's a single sign-on. That means that a learner, a teacher, parent, whoever, has one login, and from that one login, they can access a multitude of different services.
Yeah, if I can just come in there then, just to, you know, check my understanding then. So that seems to be the key shift from the old model, which was the single sign-on got you into the walled garden of the GLOW intranet. But now the single sign-on gets you into a kind of a launch page, if you like, which just takes you to lots of tools that you don't have to log into a second time. You're just in and able to use them. So it's simple and allows you to flexibly access a lot of tools if they become part of that system. Is that correct?
That's right. So So for example, you can log in and go straight into a Moodle VLE instance. So you can go into Moodle, you can set, you know, if you're a teacher user, you can go into Moodle and create courses. You can enroll learners in those courses. If you're a learner, you can go in and you can take courses inside the Moodle. If you want to go into this, the whole Glue system also integrates with Google Apps. Hmm. So that's Google's Apps for Education platform.
And that's, and you said that very quickly, but that's a lot of apps, isn't it?
That's a lot of, there's a lot of stuff there. So yeah. in Google Apps, again, just using the same single sign-on, you can go in, you can get Gmail. So you've got a world-class email system there. Hmm. You've got the Google Drive / Google Docs. So there you've got, because this isn't Google Apps for Education installation, you've got 25 gigabytes of online storage, which is huge.
Oh, phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Which,
just fantastic. And you've got the whole range of services that Google offers as part of the platform, which is really exciting. So you've got the Google Chat, the Google sort of Talk, and you can access a whole range of other Google services that maybe just aren't integrated into their Apps for Education platform, but are still available. Great things like the RSS Reader, Google Reader, plus of course you've got a great search as well.
Yeah,
which are
Google noted for search in some way.
I think that they're not bad at search.
Right,
search
it's something they should work on. Really, they could go somewhere with that, couldn't they? Yeah.
But the great thing about that platform is that they give that platform free to education.
Yeah.
And you know, there's, you own all the data. They don't trawl it or analyze it, other than to make the service run. It's a really great system. And the thing that really sold me on Docs, I spent a bit of time, as I said earlier,
doing
the scoping. And part of that scoping was looking at Microsoft's 365 solution, which is Microsoft's new education solution, Microsoft Office 365 education.
Can I just fill in again for people that don't know the Scottish situation? As the government looked to spec out the son of Glow, the new Glow, it really did come down to them looking at the Google Apps the Microsoft 365 as the two front runners, didn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yes, so they were looking at both Google Apps and looking at Office 365 as the two free application suites, you might say, that would be provided by these large corporations. Provide each of those platforms both for free, and part of the scoping exercise was looking at how usable these tools were for learners and for teachers. And part of that process also involved getting, I think it was about 100 teachers into Stirling Management Centre,
and getting those
teachers to actually use the tools, and gathering feedback from them. Said, "What did you think of that experience?" And it was very clear from that engagement with practitioners that the Google solution was the one they wanted, because it was simple, it was elegant, it was very straightforward to use. It didn't feel clunky, and it didn't have that kind of legacy that the Microsoft product has. For those listeners that don't know, Glow currently is based on the same Microsoft product that 365 is. It's called Microsoft SharePoint. And there wasn't that legacy kind of usage to the Google platform. People really enjoyed using it, found it was very straightforward. And the same went for learners. There was some engagement with learners. And the learners, again, they very much recommended the Google platform, said that was the one they wanted.
Right.
So what we've done with this Glue development that I've been working on, mm-hmm. is I developed that along as we went along, scoping the options for Glow, really as a proof of concept, integrating the Google services because that was what people wanted, integrating the free open source software tools that are out there on the internet, things like Moodle,
WordPress,
yes, MediaWiki, which is the same software that Wikipedia is based on, and a whole range of other tools. Integrating these tools because these are the tools that people wanted, mm-hmm. All into one platform, and and then trying to come up with, and again, the whole system's still very much in the development phase, but trying to come up with a simple interface that people could use to access that.
Sure. Charlie, can we just finish the sort of political bit of this?
Sure.
Just to kind of move on, and we'll get into the techie stuff about Glue. But, you know, the whole kind of focus of our program here is that you've put together a suite of tools, Glue, which essentially grew out of the scoping exercise, you know, for Glow 2. keep up, listeners.
And, keep everyone together. Yeah. This, yes.
And the question arises now then, you know, given that on Friday of last week, which is you know, not quite a week ago as we record this, the government did announce that they've given this Glow 2 contract for a 2-year period, I think, to the Microsoft tools, and they've also indicated that they're going to develop their own single sign-on approach. And you know, they're leaving the door very much open to having something that allows a sign on to more tools later, but no firm promises. So just finish it off for us. Why have you put out Glue now in the form you have? And you know, just what prompted you to do that so publicly?
Well, what really prompted me to do that was that Glue really came out. I mean, Glue came out. The timing for that wasn't specifically picked. I released it when it was ready for users to come and try out. Right. I'd ceased my involvement with the Glow project in really the middle of February. Fully, my kind of had then kind of ceased, and since then I've been sort of thinking, well, this is potentially a great community project, something that that you can. You know, it's made of open source software, so really it in itself needs to be out there as an open source project, a project that the community of educators in the Scotland, the UK, the world, wherever, can take it, can develop it further, can use it. And really it was just the timing of that, just it came out around about the same time as a lot of other things were happening with Glow. And you know, from that point of view, it's been fortunate because it's got some additional coverage because of that.
Yeah.
And people have really, when they look at Glue, they you know, they've been very kind in what they've said about it. They've been very, very positive about the platform. People have been really excited about it because they see that it's simple, that it works, and that it meets the original vision that people had for this second version of Glow in Scotland.
Yeah, I mean, my experience might be maybe a bit. Sorry, carry on, Charlie.
Well, no, it's really it's come out at this point, but I think it's also very useful that it's come out at this point because it stimulated a debate about whether Scotland needs a top-down solution rolled out by people that may not necessarily be educators, or whether it needs a bottom-up solution that's developed on the front line of learning and teaching by those people who have the best knowledge about how to deliver education to young people. And I think what I really hope for Glue is that it's the start of that process of, you know, change from the bottom up, you know, teachers being disruptive and saying, actually, what we really want is this set of tools that meets our needs. And they start to promote that and use that, and the you know, change will happen that way. That's what I'm really hoping.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm tempted here to see the parallels with Linus Torvalds. You know, you'd be the Linus Torvalds of Glow I'm talking to here. hopefully you can make more desktop penetration with this than Linux did. But
yeah, well, hopefully, yeah.
My feeling was just as you describe. You know, I've been desperately keen to see a replacement to Glow as a local authority manager of IT provision. I'm not an IT guy, Charlie. I'm you know, an educator. But what happened is I had a picture in my head that we were moving from the old walled garden that you signed into a safe place with its limitations to a single sign-on launch pad to the exciting tools that were out there. But we didn't actually see anything. But the day that I saw a tweet, pointing to your implementation of Glue, which is a lovely joke all on its own. I love that. Sticking together stuff that works, I think, is your subtitle. I have to say, the moment I logged into the page, I just jumped for joy. It was, wow, that was my feeling. Just, wow, that's what was in my head. That's what I thought it might look like. So, what you've done for us is given us this really, big kick, this challenge that while the politics of procuring the next version of Glow, and we know we're not touching on it in this program, we know the politics have been massive. We'll maybe put a link or two to a blog or two about it, but basically we just want to talk about the moving forward here tonight. But you've really focused people's minds, and I guess the key question that has to be asked, it's the elephant in the room, is is this now going to, in a sense, will it run comfortably concurrently with the new Glow Microsoft solution, or is it a rival? I know that you won't intend it to be such, but how do you see this playing out?
Well, I mean, it's a kind of, it's a bit David and Goliath, isn't it? Really,
it's a shame. A shame that Microsoft are the small players in this at the moment, of course. But yeah, fair enough.
Yes, yeah. I mean, this is just past the proof of concept. It's still something that we're developing. I'm hoping this week's going to see a lot of development work on the Glue project. But I think where it's going is really depends on the education community, how it's adopted, and how they contribute, because Glue is more than just here's some geeky techie stuff that's glued together to work. Mm. For that Glue to really set properly, what it needs is great content.
Yeah.
And that content has to come from the community. So that's content both in terms of, help sheets and things like that. How do you make your first blog? And it's content in terms of people being in the system, being able to find each other and work with each other and produce really exciting things for learners. So I think there's there's more than just the techie stuff going on. We need to get some more people in there. And there's a few exciting things happening this week with Glue. So there'll be an opportunity once you're in the system to see what other people are doing in there. A bit like with Facebook, you've got this kind of stream of activity. There'll be a learning stream inside Glue, so you can see what other people are doing in different parts of the platform. Mm. And you can maybe choose to follow them. Or if you want to do something more than follow them, you can friend them so that you can begin to collaborate with them, as well as just following them kind of passively. So there's kind of both the Facebook and Twitter model in there.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. It was always missing for me from the old Glow. It seemed very static, and that following people was really in very static groups. When the trouble is, if you build a national intranet, whatever that means, like Glow, your audience is people who are using the cutting edge, which is Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus and things like that. So how much? Where would you say the equivalent is in your Glow implementation? What was the closest thing to that in there?
Well, within Glue, this week we'll be releasing, as I said, we'll be releasing this learning stream idea. Mm-hmm. So there will be this opportunity for you to see activity, to find people that and to then follow them, mm-hmm. a bit like you do on Twitter, where you just see what they're doing. Or there'll be the opportunity to friend them, where they will see what you're doing and you will see what they're doing, and then there's opportunity to collaborate both ways. Now, that collaboration can take a whole range of different, there can be a whole range of different things you can do. You can start up groups. So there will be a group. But the interesting thing about groups is that they'll be integrated into Google Groups, and they'll be on the core platform. So they'll be able to share files. You'll be able to, Karen.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, because I actually asked you a question there that I've probably asked badly, because I kind of made you say the same thing again briefly.
Okay.
I guess what I was really asking is, what are the tools that you're using to implement that? I get that there are Google Groups,
okay, sure.
But what's the kind of the actual tool, the open source tool that you're using to let us follow other people's streams?
Well,
Or is Glue this something you're writing? I should always check with you.
it's a little bit of both. A little bit of both, it would be true. Glue is actually built on The core portal in Glue is built on what's called Drupal, which is an open source content management system. Uh-huh. It's probably one of the top three open source tools that there are.
Well, I work for Argyll & Bute Council, and I know our corporate website is a Drupal site, so yeah.
And there's important reasons. There's very clear reasons why Drupal is selected as the tool to do that. Pretty much because Drupal is a platform that's scalable, so it will support multiple, many users. The White House, the U.S. White House website is built in Drupal. Like MTV website is built in Drupal. So there's lots of examples of very large websites that are built on that platform. So absolutely. So it's scalable, and that's really important. Because if you're wanting to build a national platform, a national portal that could potentially have the population of Scotland on it, mm-hmm. it's going to have to scale.
Absolutely.
Maybe the vision eventually might be even bigger than that. Who knows? But it has to be able to scale. So the Drupal is the core component, and then within that there are different add-ons you can put into Drupal. And some of those will give us this activity stream that we can have, plus a little bit of development expertise on the top of that, just to make some of it work together and different elements of the system speak to each other. So things that I'm adding in are things like when a learner completes an activity in the Moodle instance, which is the VLE part of Glue. Mm-hmm. When a learner completes an activity there, that will be passed back into their learning stream. If a learner's in WordPress and there are a number of WordPress installations that are linked into Glue, when a learner's in WordPress, when they post a blog, that'll come into their stream. When they comment on blogs, that'll come into their stream. There's a piece of software called Mahara, which is e-portfolio software, lets you build a CV, lets you record your learning. When a learner puts work into that Mahara system, that will report back. So all of your learning activity within Glue comes back to this single stream, so that becomes a really important opportunity for us to give audience to learners, say, look, these are the things that those learners are actively engaged in doing, but also through that, their friends will be able to comment on that, the teacher can pass comment on it, and you can begin to get some really quality exchanges about the activity that's happening in the system.
Charlie, if you can make that work, I really don't see how that can fail to get traction and popularity, because that's the glue. It really was an inadvertent pun there. That is the ingredient that people want now. They're used to a kind of a live stream of what they're doing and developing. Which begs a question. Do you ever envisage the glue portal stream, whatever we're going to end up thinking of it as, allowing certain people, teachers, older children, or whatever, to choose an option that lets them post their updates to a public outward facing net as well, like their Facebook account or their Twitter feed?
There's no reason why if there's the demand from the community, and I think I want to make sure that if we add in those kind of social networking tools that we've got the buy-in from users. But there's no reason why we couldn't have a tweet this button on the learning stream, a send this to Facebook button. Yeah. Those things are, those are really simple things to add. They can
I know that there have got to be 150 tech people listening to this podcast, right away going, oh yeah, you think, you might think it's easy to add. but actually, culturally, Charlie, this is a really exciting conversation, because we all notice now that there's almost nothing that you can download by way of apps on a phone or whatever that doesn't have a retweet this to Facebook. I mean, I was out on my bike on Sunday, and the first thing that happens when I finish my bicycle, do you want to tweet your ride? Do you want to post it to Facebook? I believe there are people these days buying scales and things, that tweet their weight, but the culture is shifting. And can I put this as a question to you? Someone on a blog, Theo, something was it, did you read this blog, was saying that the old model of Glow, the national intranet that we were, so proud of, was about having everything below the waterline, that you didn't see things, privacy was paramount. And this blog suggested that actually we had to begin to look at a blended model whereby the default was to be a little more open, but you could close things off and make them private where that was appropriate and safe. You know, so we're moving to this blended model. And actually, if you like, that would be about people controlling their privacy again, wouldn't it? You know, that, yeah, we need a class blog, we need my e-portfolio tool to be private because I'm not ready to go public with it yet, and that would be easy to control. But equally well, you might be a teacher who wants to, you know, put lots of development materials on a group, you know, through the Glue portal, but you know, you're not attracted because you're a big web developer, you want to reach teachers abroad and elsewhere. You're not attracted to pure privacy. You might want to be private, you know, or at least accessible to people who want to stay behind the Glue, you know, wall, if you like. But equally, I want their posts and tweets to be seen outwards, you know, through Facebook and networks like that. You know, where do you stand on the kind of vision for, you know, the future of intranets? What does intranet for schools mean to you?
Well, I kind of think, I'll be honest here, I kind of think intranet's an irrelevant term. I think it's a term that we really we just need to forget, because the web's entirely social, it's entirely outward facing. And I think what we need, you know, it's like when you go in, if you take Facebook, and I think Facebook is a classic example, because it is the biggest social network in the world. It has a huge reach. I can't remember, I think it's more than 25% of the world's web traffic goes to Facebook.
Yeah, somewhere between 800 million and a billion now users, although some dead accounts, and you're right, a quarter of all traffic, I believe, was the latest figure I read, is Facebook traffic.
So it's got a huge impact. But what's happening with that platform is very much that you are in control of what you allow people to see.
Yeah.
You can shut that portal down to just a very close-knit group of friends.
Charlie, I'm going to put my health warning in here because, you know famously that most people can't understand the safety and security settings.
Yeah, the privacy features.
I think most of us are getting by now that they're probably child play to you, but not the rest of us. Sorry, I'm teasing.
Yeah. So you can go into your settings in Facebook and you can shut it down very much, but I think it's giving users the power to do that. Glue's taken some steps to do that. The default setting is that your blogs are private. However, you can make your blogs public if you want. You can create an outward-facing CV and e-portfolio if you wish. So those tools are in there. And I think as we move on, we'll give users more chance and more capability to make things outwardly-facing, because that's how you're going to get, you know, the audience. That's how you're going to build those connections with, family outside of Scotland, for example, that want to see somebody's work, a learner's work. If you make things outwardly facing, then they'll be able to engage with that. So I think we've got some work to do in that. We very much started off Glue as, you know, trying to hedge our bets with security, really, to say, right, we're going to keep things, hedge our bets with privacy. We'll start lockdown, and then we'll look at how we open it up. And I think we'll need to open it up more as we go on. But I think if we've got, you know, an awareness that that's what we want to do, that's the kind of goal, putting that privacy, those settings in charge, making the users in charge of that. Mm-hmm. If you make the users in charge of that, then that's, you know, they have to make those responsible decisions. And I think using the web and using the internet these days is all about making responsible decisions. We talk about e-safety, we talk about appropriate use, and, you know, this kind of comes back into the wider debate about, you know, how many services are filtered within education. You know, you can't use YouTube, and you can't access Twitter, or you can't go to a whole variety of different really useful learning, you know, really useful sites that have great learning content. You can't access them. And I think if we're educators, we need to flip that around and say, right, let's use the web, let's make it as open as possible, and let's, enable our learners to make let's teach them about making the right decisions, accessing content and using platforms in the right way.
Yeah. So is it fair to summarise your position on this then, that, a safe walled garden intranet, you know, it doesn't even compute with you as a concept? The concept is about a flexible system that allows privacy where necessary, outward reaching where necessary, and part of a system of teaching young people and adults, for that matter, to control their own online presence.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to have the tools to control your own destiny, really.
Yeah.
And I think that's absolutely fundamental. That as soon as we try and police people's behavior online, that's when, you know, as soon as the, you know, if we think about learners, as soon as they work in school in a closed down environment, and the first thing they do when they go out the door, they go onto Facebook on their phone and they're chatting to their friends.
Yeah.
And we don't allow any of those tools in school, and we're missing a huge opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. It's completely crazy. I know that some of my, some of the young people that I've got the privilege to meet in my work in Argyll and Bute did a survey in, it was Oban High, and they checked with 100-odd young people in the school, and they found that, from memory, it was something like 98% of all young people have got a mobile phone, and I think it was 90% or 89% can access Facebook on that. And within that figure, it was 80% accessed it, you know, within the school confines every second day at least. And the remaining, every day, and every, you know, the kind of remaining 10% approximately there were accessing it every second day. That's the reality for young people now. So we're filtering and trying to micromanage their online lives, but their smartphones are just working round us anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, they're just the learners are bypassing us. You know, it's the sort of thing. I genuinely think if we don't sort out the levels of access and make some of these great tools available in schools, you know, I think in the long run we'll become irrelevant as educators,
because there's nothing.
What we do in terms of technology education in school will have no relevance.
I completely agree with you. I have to say, I was at the Scottish ICT Development Group meeting on Friday, and you'll be happy to know that you got a lot of good mentions at that. A lot of people are very impressed with what you've done. But the conversation did turn to sort of filtering and security, you know, and I certainly detected a trend. A lot of people are beginning to experiment and free things up that even a year ago, I don't think people were ready to do, you know. So I think although, you know, local authorities are slow moving animals in this regard, I'm heartened by the rate of openness that we're beginning to see.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there is definitely a change in the air, you might say, you know.
Yeah.
That things are beginning to move. And I certainly know within my own local authority that, you know, not so long ago, we finally got Twitter enabled in our schools. Mm. And we also had Vimeo. We haven't got YouTube yet, but we're working on it.
Well, we've got YouTube for teachers and Twitter for teachers, but not for young people. And that seems like, you know, maybe some of the senior pupils could be doing that now. Anyway, so I think we've got a good picture of what your vision for Glue is. We've got a pretty good picture of the kind of open source tools it contains. A couple of other questions I'd love to quickly give you a chance to get into.
Okay.
You can kind of pick the order for me here. One of them is, about security, because that's a question that comes up. You know, making these things secure is difficult. Only last week was it LinkedIn had a crisis of, you know, passwords going missing. And the other one, of course, that I want to ask you about is how do we, you know, how do you see a community developing around the development of this? It's the Linus Torvalds question again, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
And how do you make sure that this doesn't become, what was that open source project? Was it Diaspora that was supposed to be the kind of open source version of Facebook recently?
And then disappeared.
Hasn't it? Yeah. So those are your two questions. You know, really, which
sure.
one we tackle first?
Well, let's go with the security one, because
yeah.
I can give you some really hard and fast answers on that one. Glue is built on open source software that all of the different open source elements of Glue have very large developer communities that frequently patch and update the software to remedy any problems that occur. Part of the work that I do in maintaining Glue is ensuring that it is regularly patched and updated with the most latest releases of these pieces of software. So, for example, all the WordPress instances are updated the very second that the new version of WordPress comes out. Mm-hmm. Because the architecture of Glue isn't like Glow in that there's some special code put in to make it work. Because Glue uses open standards and uses this open source software, I'm able to very quickly update and patch it and take it on to the next version of whatever software is running. So in terms of security, it's responsive. As soon as there are problems that are found, they're patched by the developer community, and those patches go into Glue.
Okay.
Just to give you some of my web developer background, I've run a web development company outside of my teaching post for the last 10 years. So I have a web development business, and part of that business has been to provide websites for commercial people, for businesses, for commerce.
Yep. Charlie, I lost you there. You were just saying about your sorry, Charlie, I had a dropout. You were just saying there that you'd run a web development business. Should I just pick up from there?
I'll just pick up. Sure. So I, for the last 10 years, I've run a web development business outside of school, picking up commercial projects. And those projects have included e-commerce websites that have linkage into online banking systems for payment and so on. And I'm very much aware of the standards and requirements for what they call the PCI security standard for processing credit card transactions, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that same level of security and that same level of architecture on the servers that run Glue is there as the same as on some commercial.
Getting a lot of dropouts all of a sudden, Charlie.
That I've been involved with. It's been built. Sorry, still there?
Yeah, we basically got a lot of dropouts there. I'm just turning off my video just to see if that helps for a moment.
That'll probably help us a wee bit. Right, I'll just start all that again.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you were just saying about the PCI, was it? I think that was clear to there, and then we get dropouts.
I'll just actually start from the beginning, if you don't mind.
Easiest
for me.
go for it.
So the last 10 years, I've been running a web design business as well as being a teacher, and I've been involved in commercial projects as part of that. And that includes e-commerce websites where credit card details are stored and processed. And part of that is gaining what's called a PCI standard. So that's a standard that allows you to store credit card data and store personal information about credit card users. And that's quite a high security standard in terms of the defenses that you have on the servers that you're operating.
Mm-hmm.
And Glue is operating on those servers. So Glue is operating within that security profile, that PCI standard. So basically, those servers have been audited and that standard has been achieved on them. Now, Glue, as it's currently operates, the server that's currently operating, that's the server's been built to that standard, but I haven't paid for an audit of that particular server, but it is built to the same standard as the other e-commerce servers are.
Right, so that's where if a community could get behind what you're doing, or if you could get some sort of more official financial backing for it, you could then pay for that kind of security checking and accreditation. But it's worth just reminding people here that many of the most secure systems on the internet, like PGP and stuff like that, these are actually open source projects, aren't they? Just because a lot of people out there have the notion that real security comes from, big business. But in actual fact, open source security development is actually cutting edge. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it is. I mean, I think it's very, very true to say that, the open source community runs, the open source community runs so many different projects that are absolutely, security is absolutely critical on them. The vast majority of web servers online are all running on Apache. Apache is an open source web server, it's used across the web, hugely, and that's a really secure piece of software that's that continues to be developed and patched and made even more secure by the community. So just to be absolutely clear on the security point is that Glue is built to that PCI standard. It's built to the same standard that I use when I'm developing commercial services for clients that are using online banking. So the data that's in the system, to the very best of my expertise, is secure. At the moment, the system is an open beta, so it does mean right now that anyone can sign up. That's part of having an open beta, So it's an open beta test where users can come in from wherever and try out the system. So that's, you know, people need to be aware of that if they want to come to explore it, that that it is right now an open system, and it's going to be difficult to change how that operates unless we decide, you know, we could change how that operated. For example, if the Scottish Government or Education Scotland said, right, we want to use Glue with the schools in Scotland, so what we'd like to do is integrate that into the authentication system that they have for Glow. So we could do that, and we could then verify users against that. But if we're going to have this kind of open platform for learning, right now it has to be, you know, it has to be open for users to sign themselves up and get themselves into the system.
Sure.
And I think, you know, maybe long term, you know, as we continue to develop this idea of having friends and buddies in the system, that if you want to become involved in a school group in the system, then that has to be approved by a school user. So that has to be approved by, you know, the teacher has to invite you into the group. And we can maybe try and find some way of putting checks and balances in place to ensure that that person is a teacher. Yeah. And they are the right person. And I've got some experience of doing that, because I run another website called compednet.com. Mm-hmm. And that's a portal for Scottish computing teachers and people involved in computing education in Scotland. And there's about 800 users on there, and every user has been vetted in some way before they've come into that, been allowed into the portal, fully into the portal to engage with users.
Right.
So there are ways to do it. They are a little bit labor intensive. They involve speaking to people at an establishment to verify things. They sometimes involve other methods of verification, but there are ways to do that to check who people are.
Right.
But I think right now, really, as this system is developing, I want to make it as open for people to come and try it.
Can I summarise that then for listeners then? So,
sure.
So where we are at the moment then is it's an open beta. It's not yet, you know, at a stage when a local authority could say we're going to put lots of young people on it and go for it. However, it's built to a highly secure model using open source standards, which are well established. And if the community came together around this, it could be given that seal of approval and be ready to go. Is that a fair way to look at it?
Yes, that would be a fair way to go. And I think that there won't, you know, it won't be too long until, I mean, one of the great things about Glue is that it's going to be all the code, everything that I've put together and how it's been put together is going on to it. And this comes on to your second question, which was about development.
Yeah, which I want to bring us on to now, just as the clock starts to run out.
Yeah, so that's going to go on to what's going to be called dev.glue.org.uk, which is going to be the development portal. So all the code and all the ways, everything about how the system is set up is going to go on there. Now, right now, because Glue is an outward-facing system, some local authorities might be concerned about coming in and using it. But there's nothing to stop the local authority taking everything that Glue is made of, sticking that on their own infrastructure. The authentication system will link into what's called Active Directory, which many local authorities use. Yeah.
ESP kind of system on a server.
Yes, so that would link into it. Uses what the LDAP protocol to hook into your Active Directory, so you could actually have all your users in an Active Directory, and you could set up your own version of Glue inside your local authority, and you could be up and running and have that integrated with Google Apps, and you could get that up and running probably in less than a week.
I can see right away the challenge for you, you know, in terms of that, you know, let's say someone does that, what becomes really important is the main, you know, branch, if you like, so the main trunk of your development of Glue goes on, you know, people are going to want updates. Imagine you packaging the updates for that. That could be a nightmare.
Well, that's why we've got what's going to happen on the development portal is it's again using great open source software. There'll be what's called a GitHub, which is basically where nightly builds of the software will go, and where updates will be posted. So all that's going to be handled and managed centrally on the development hub. So that, and that's a classic model that's used for open source development. So all of that activity is going to be up there, and When there are releases, people that are using the code can see those updates and can bring them down and install them.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway, still a big undertaking.
I
am daunted by the picture of that. Having said that, I am currently talking to the guy who is about to receive the Inside Learning Podcast Award for most likely guest to hack into the Pentagon ever. But anyway,
you're the second person that said that, actually, to be fair.
Well, anyway, yes, I'm going to move swiftly on before we start bringing the wrong kind of interest. You know, I'm sure there are web crawlers looking for, you know, for speech fragments finding just that phrase, hack into the Pentagon. Anyway, yeah. So how do you see that, you know, panning out in terms of, you know, the support that this needs?
Well, I think there's the support that it needs is really kind of crucial. I think it needs the support of the education community, because that's how we'll get change to happen. That's how we'll convince, within Scotland certainly, that's how we'll convince government and local authorities and Education Scotland and so on to buy into the project, and to put the kind of financial support in place that will assist it to grow and to develop. So that we need that kind of the buy-in from practitioners, and I'm just been completely bowled over by the response. The response has been absolutely fantastic from teachers who, as soon as they've looked at Glue, as you've quite rightly said already, they, you know, this is what they,
yeah, that's
they
what's in my head.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So it's been really, you know, I've been really humbled by that, because it's been a really great feedback to get. So we need their buy-in and their support. As soon as the development portal is up and running, we're going to need people that can, you know, who have coding expertise, who want to get involved, get them to sign up to help and take on different parts of the development. And also as part of that development, we're going to want, you know, I really want to practitioners to come on board. And even if they're not coders, they can still get involved by, you know, trying to flesh out some of the content in the system and trying to add, you know, some of their resources to it, make it a really rich learning environment. You know, somebody the other night tweeted, you know, really like Glue, but it's like wandering around a big posh house. Where is everybody? You know, and I think what we really want to do is ultimately build a fantastic community that's all about learning and teaching and supporting young people. And a key part of that will be having young people in the platform using it.
Absolutely. I noticed in one of your tweets very recently that you know, that you had some sort of interest from Google. Is there anything on the horizon there? Might they be willing to be I don't mean financial, although that would be nice, some kind of a sponsor or supporter of the project?
Well, Google are very much a supporter of the project. They've been absolutely fantastic in, you know, supporting it through the event. They had a large event in Glasgow last Saturday, and Glue was a major part of that event. So Google have been fantastic in that way. I'm still speaking to Google about, you know, how we can work more together, and I'm very hopeful for the future. I don't think I can say anything more than that.
Well, no, of course not. And in some ways, it's an unfair question, but you know, I'm sure I'm not the only educator in Scotland that would love to see, you know, some big backing, you know, for you in this. That would be great. Have you approached Microsoft?
I'd be very happy to speak to Microsoft. Glue has been designed so that it can work with Microsoft's 365 platform. It does need a little bit of extra software, because the Microsoft setup is a little bit more proprietary than Google's one is. So if you want, but it would be possible to integrate Microsoft services into the Glue platform just as easily as I've been able to integrate the Google platform, the Google services.
And as you know, I tweeted that request to you at some point. I'm sure I wasn't alone. But to me, that's the dream future, you know, that the single sign-on gets you into all the big tools that you want, you know. And Microsoft are odd, aren't they? Because although they have a reputation for being a big closed corporation, they continue to surprise us by you know, backing odd pieces of open source, you know. No one expected them to suddenly put Linux on their Azure cloud service, but I believe they're doing that right now.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that particular development, but they have become more and more involved in the open source community and sponsoring the software development and sponsoring different projects. And I think that's good for their profile, because much of the, you know, an awful lot of the innovation that happens in software development comes from the open source community.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's a good place for Microsoft. It's a good place for Google as well to be. And Google are kind of involved in that with their Summer of Code projects and so on. So there's, you know, these large software developers are, you know, they get involved with the community for very good reasons, because they see it as a vibrant place to be, and it's good for their business as well.
Yeah.
But certainly, you know, I if Microsoft wanted to give me a to donate some hosting, and they wanted to donate some a Microsoft Federated Services server and an instance of Office 365 for Education, and they wanted to do that and provide a little bit of assistance just to get that set up and running, I would absolutely love to get that into Glue.
You'd be
absolutely
up for that. They wouldn't have to twist your arm. That's good. Glad to hear.
Absolutely
it.
Not. Good
man. Take one for the team. Good. So, well, we've come to the end of our podcast, and Charlie, it's just been an absolute delight to talk to you. Yeah, there are people every so often that just take your breath away with the work they've done, and you're totally in that category here. You know, my hat is utterly off to you, sir. Anything that you want to mention before we close up? Anything that I've missed?
No, I just really to say to all your listeners, just to, you know, come along and sign up at Glue, have a look around. There'll be the development portal will be up really soon, so you'll be able to leave your comments. If you find any odd things that happen, you report them, because we want to get them fixed. We want to make it a really great platform. And really just you come and join us on this journey, because I think it's going to be really, really exciting.
Fabulous. Charlie, maybe at some point in the months to come, once you've... you know, worked out the beta kinks and, you know, things are taking off, as I very much hope they will for you. Maybe you come back and give us an update.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. That'd very much. Done.
Really,
yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. And just for listeners more generally, this podcast is a spin-off from our far more established Inside Learning podcast. We're still looking for people to get involved in helping with presenting, you know. Actually, we'd love to have an open source community around this as well, Charlie. So anyone out there listening who thinks, I'd love to do the odd Skype, you know, hosting, and I would enjoy that, please get in touch. We'd love to find someone for this. I mean, I'm certainly going to stay involved. I love it, but we need a few more people. So thank you very much for that, Charlie. Thanks for giving up your time tonight. And please, people, go and sign up and try out Glue. It's fabulous. And it's found at glue.org.uk.
And if you want to get kind of status updates of the odd things that are going on with Glue, you can follow me on Twitter, which is @Charlie_love.
Fabulous. We'll get all these links up. Charlie, once again, good night and thank you.
Thank you very much, Matthew. Cheers.